The scripture reading is found in Revelation chapter 16, verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great.
Once again, happy Sabbath, everyone. Oh, there's still haunting questions that's facing Western allies, especially the United States today. There, as it was when the Soviet Union was intact. What is Russia up to today? A number of years ago, it was the science of space satellites and going out into space. The question was whether we were going to overtake them or not, or they were going to overtake us. Today, this past year, it's been, what is Russia going to do with the nation of Ukraine that was part of the Soviet Union? And the other nations, too, that it looks like he may try and take over once again. What are they up to? And can they be stopped? Can we stop them or not? No. Fortunately, we know that there is an infinite God that has set the limits of what man can do. And that is whether to go to Mars or not. And along with Iran, too. And the others in North Korea, ISIS situation that we condemn. How can we stop them? And God is well aware of the element called time. Although man may, you know, glory in his own wisdom and accomplish things and even ignore his creator. But he has to realize that these things, these accomplishments that we have, only come from God. Without God there, we could not accomplish these things. And we know that God does not ignore them like we ignore. He does not ignore you or I, or any of us, humanity. So we need to inquire of ourselves. Am I fully aware of the meaning of these serious times? Am I demonstrating this awareness through a diligent reorganization of my life in preparation for the return of Christ? We know at the time of the flood, there was just a mere knowledge that was not sufficient. One had to do something about it. So today, truth must be only to be believed, but we need to put it into practice, this truth that we have in reading the Word of God. Many of us have discovered new truths, and there's new truths yet to be discovered. And they come shining through Scripture. We all need to move forward by faith until the exact, look at the exact footsteps of our Creator. We need to look at a thrilling line of prophecy that pinpoints the exact location we now find ourselves in as the overflow stream of time. We need to have a deeper and fuller significance of that time. We know there will be another ray of light in our lives to shine on our pathway that leads to the eternal kingdom for each one of us, to reveal what is coming. We don't have to be ignorant. We don't need to be caught unaware of the things that are to follow in this year or years to come. So we're going to look at the book of Revelation. Students of prophecy agree that seven churches, the seven seals, the seven trumpets cover the same period of time. And that is number seven in the book of Revelation is quite prevalent. But from different points of view, they look at it. They cover that extension from Christ to the end of time. Most Bible students recognize this fact. But then again, we shall see why, in the words of the scriptures, why these prophecies were given. John 14:29. I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, he might believe. May this prophecy also cause us to be humble in the presence of our God. So let's look at the seven seals of Revelation in chapter 6, where they start in chapter 6 of Revelation. Not going into all the details of the seven seals today, because it would take too long, but just for us to get an overview picture of a deeper thought of them, so the next time that I will go into deeper detail of the seals, and we'll look at them again. But the first seal there in chapter 6, of verse 1 and verse 2, if you turn there and look at that. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When the Lamb, which we know as Christ, opens the first seal, a rider on a white horse, crowned with authority, with the pure, unadulterated truth of the gospel, goes forth to conquer. Such an experience was of the primitive Christian church in the first century, following Christ's ascension to heaven. The historian Gibbon said, "The progress of Christianity was not confined to the Roman Empire, but the new religion, within a century after the death of the divine author, had already visited every part of the globe." We see that. However, towards that end of the period, serious trouble manifested itself. And we can see that in the second seal in verses 3 and 4. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take place from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." So here we see this red horse going forth, given power to take peace from the earth. I think that peace is already gone. We don't have truly much peace now here upon this earth. We see spots of it here and there, but not the true peace that we really need with our Lord Jesus Christ. It was at this time that the bloody persecution reared its head. Even compromising forces were at work within the church as well as without. It deteriorated to such a point that the violent attacks of Diocletian, the Roman Empire, upon the Christians was stayed only because of his death in the year 313 B.C. And then we know that Constantine ascended the throne of Caesars. And he reorganized the Christianity. He knew that it was forced to be reckoned with, and went about bringing peace. Both pagan and Christians in his empire would be drawn to it. And that was a reason for it, to draw them both together and see that. So he instituted the first Sunday law among the many things that he was to bring about. And he even turned to Christianity himself, but we know that it was only in name only. And we see this. I know that normally sermons shouldn't be given history of this, but I want to do it this way so that the next time you will have your eyes. And I hopefully that you're not like some of us that hear the sermon and then go home and forget about it. I hope that you will contemplate about the seven seals, and the next time that we go over that, you'll be ready for it. So we'll look at the third seal in verses 5 and 6. 5 and 6. "And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou not hurt the oil and the wine.'" Yes, a measure of wheat for a penny. Three measures of barley for a penny. They say that the measure was about one quart. So the coming of Constantine with peace made the intervention of the government to bring about unity. And we see so much now today that the government is trying to take over our lives and to control our lives. And we know that we do not have to go by that. But it was even happening in the past. The direct result of this was the miniature of Christianity practices, pagan practices mixed it together. Many of them can be seen today. That the church was now entering into a period of darkness, and we know that the world is in a period of darkness now. See that? Such innovations as relics, images, purgatory, plus frauds, holy water, and others that were there. The tradition of men was taking hold, took the place of the free bread of life, and religion was sold even as the bread was in prophecy. The historian Moshian said, "The public processions and supplications by which pagans endured to appease their gods were now adopted into the Christian worship and celebrated in many places with great pomp and magnificence." Gibbon put it this way, "Paganism disappeared only to emerge again in the church." And we see that that has happened. That is the history of the church. Truth was reduced to a tangled mess of superstition. Superstition came into the world and into the church. Religion became gaudy. An extravagant display fastened itself like cancer upon the church. And if we look at Isaiah 55:1, and long before that, Jesus had said, let's quickly turn to Isaiah 55:1. "Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price." We see that religion was bartered and sold. During this time, the years 321 through 538 A.D., the foundation of the apostate Christianity was laid so that all could see that. And then the fourth seal in verses 7 and 8. "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat at him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." Yes, even the beasts of the earth. There is only one period that fully fulfills these characteristics. Even as a plant was set up, when it's set up away from the sun, loses its color, even so as the church departed from the truth, from the Son of Righteousness, and entered that darkness of those dark days of the papal domination, you know, tragedy and death was forward through that and followed and still in many ways continues today. Every tool of persecution was used, even wild beast at times. It was estimated that up to 50 million people lost their lives over the crime of heresy. In 1517, the darkness begin to lift a little bit. And so and then we go into the fifth seal in verses 9 through 11. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them and dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So we see that persecution brought darkness. and their souls were crying out, "How long dost thou not judge and avenge our blood in them that dwell on the earth?" We know that in the ancient sanctuary, the sacrifice of the blood was poured out upon the ground. When Cain slew his brother Abel, the first violent burst of religious tolerance, God came and asked, "What hast thou done?" "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground," Genesis 4:10. So it was with millions of martyrs that had their blood spilled during these dark days, in the dark ages that lasted until 1798. And here's a prayer of Leonard Schroner, beheaded in Rottenburg, Bulgaria, in January 14, 1528, and was found among his papers in his prison cell. Some of you probably have heard about this already. "We are scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. We have been compelled to forsake house and home. We are as night ravens which abide in the rocks. Our chambers are in hole and crags. The world still rolls and rests not. It raves as if mad. They invent lies against us. They cease not their fires and murders. O Lord, how long wilt thou be silent? How long wilt thou not judge the blood of the saints?" Quoted from Beacon Lights, pages 207 and 208. Yes, it was in 1517 when the gleams of the Reformation, the light began to break through this terrible darkness that gripped the minds of men. And we see the sixth seal in verses 6 through 12. Or 12, I mean 12, 13. "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." And yes, the greatest earthquake ever to come yet is to come just as Jesus is coming to this earth, just as our Savior is coming for his people. "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven did parted as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." So we see that. Was it a freak of chance in November 1st, 1755 that brought the terrible earthquake that covered 4 million square miles, and 90,000 people perished in 3 minutes in Lisbon, Portugal? "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." This happened 25 years later on May 19th, 1780. But that was not all that was to happen, to fall under this seal. "The stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casts its untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." This prophetic event came on the night of November 13th, 1833. We've been studying and learning these prophecies and these showing that the end is coming upon us. With the opening of the sixth seal, some came very definite dates among us, as I've said. The earthquake, 1755. The dark day, 1780. Falling of the stars in 1833. There can be nothing but certainty about this period covered. There is only one more seal to be opened. And to see that, we have to jump past the seventh chapter of Revelation and begin with the eighth chapter. We'll look at chapter 7 at a later date. And it's vitally important that we don't forget, for it pertains to the period between the sixth and seventh seals, our very day that we're living in now. And then 8:1, chapter 8:1, if you turn there. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour." Silence in heaven. Must seem like a strange situation for to have this silence in there. But Jesus tells us why. that it doesn't in Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. This seal is actually the emptying of heaven at his coming. What's going to be just but for a short period of time. And we can calculate how long that's going to be. If it's a prophetic day, it represents a year. How long is a half an hour? It's just about 1 week, just about 7 days. We can see this tremendous impact of this chain of prophecy. Six of the seals have been opened. We're waiting for the seventh. There's only one left. And at the coming of the Lord with his holy angels, then we are now living between the sixth and seventh seal. Are we ready for what is coming upon this earth? We need to look at the parenthetical chapter of 7 there, inserted between these two seals, to find a very special work that is now going on. And this is the sealing time, when the servants of God are being sealed. Children are being sealed for time and for eternity. We pray that each one of us will be sealed before the time of probation closes, so that we have that assurance of eternal life. We know that we're living in desperate times. And we know that these are not ordinary times that we're living in, where it may seem like that we're just day by day goes by and our lives continue on. You know that. But we know that we need to keep our eye upon Jesus. Keep our eye upon the cross to see that. We know that God's all-seeing eye searching out the sincere in heart. And I pray that each one of us this morning here are sincere in heart, so that we can have that sealing truth of the time that we need here now to look at life and death issues that we all face. We all have a choice to make, whether to follow that pathway to the eternal kingdom or the pathway to a damnation. We know that we all deserve death, but through the blessed love of our God, through the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, we can have eternal life. We don't have to fear. We're talking about fear in our Sabbath school lesson. We stand in awe of our God and our Savior, but without fear and being not afraid, because if we have followed the Lord Jesus Christ, kept the commandments and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be able to have that seal put upon us before the end of probation. Soon the Lord will return for his own that accepted these changes in their lives, accepted the grace of God that will change us. And we look at the things that we must be changed. There shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, Revelation 21:27. We have the evidence of the deep love that Christ has for each one of us. It's all wise revelations given to us in time past and in the very time in history where we now live. If we will just take this book here, take it as it reads and believe in it and live according to the commandments that are in here for that. There's no other reasons for these revelations but to bring the truth to his people now, today, that will change the heart. Truth which will be accepted, that will prepare us to stand in the great day that is coming, waiting for the Master to come for his children. I pray that each one of us are going to be ready for that, and that we will help others to be ready also, for we know that we are truly the representatives of the living God. So that we'll look at these seals again, but in a more detailed description the next time. And so we just pray that as we look at these seals and the seven churches and seven trumpets and the seven vials that are going to be poured out, that we will be ready for the time that will come. Some of us will be laid to rest before that happens. Others of us may be alive at this time. So we need to be prepared. We need to have these things written in our hearts. And I just pray that each one of us does.
Lord, be with us again in the week coming and also in the year coming. We're now, we've gone into a new year, and we, in looking at things, we can see, I think, that things are not going to get any better. And so we, Lord, we're going to need your constant guidance and your constant strength to help us through these pitfalls that will definitely start coming our way. So be with us, Lord, we ask in your name. Amen.